It's the Score North Twin Show.
I forgot to tell Dex, I've put a new little video intro on here.
Saw that.
For the week. I know, we never really came up with an... It was one more parade before we pass. I don't know, it never really... We can keep working on the slogan for
sure.
What this show is. So in the meantime, I figured just a nice picture of Target Field with the three of us idiots can be a good little...
I love that picture.
Let's run it again here. We don't have to run the audio. Here, right. There it is. Yep. Look at this. Okay. Look at the production team at Score North for the YouTube channel. We spare no expense.
Whoa.
So, boys, we have Twins regular season baseball here in like 72 hours on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Are they even going to be able to field a 26-man roster at this point? So Justin Topa is going to be out with the knee strain. Duran is out with what, the oblique or the what did oblique. We character
oblique.
Who else? So who's all on the injured list? Buxton's not, right? Thiel, Buxton's going to start the season.
Thiel Bar with a hamstring.
Thiel Bar.
He did throw a bullpen yesterday, so that's a good sign. They have Matt Canarino, one of their top pitching prospects. He will not be ready to pitch whoever he's being assigned to. I envision that will be St. Paul. Let's see. Who else? There's some other, I think, prospect, I thought. But the main culprits are three of your top five bullpen arms are just... Yeah. After we just talked about how great their bullpen depth was going to be all the last month, I gave an entire ranking of my trust tree, and three of those top five guys in 10 days are just not going to be on the team to start the year.
They fell off
like
the branch.
Of eight relievers.
Yep.
Not good.
Well, we're going to do a two-part season preview. Trevor Plouffe, our guy on Tuesdays, is on spring break with his family this week. So we'll bring Plouffe back in the mix next week. And we'll do
and the
kind
Staffords,
of
a, right?
Are they, is it, he's
it's
friends
public.
with Matthew Stafford and his family. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought he said though that the spring break was like the family's.
Yeah. If you go to either of their Instagram pages, it's half of it is with the Stafford family. So they're just like
it's
super good friends. It is really funny. It's super funny.
Just living in LA, just hanging out with
Matthew
one
Stafford,
of the most famous quarterbacks. And then Stafford gets to hang out with one of the most famous, you know, baseball media guys, former big leaguer, 100 career dongs.
Right.
So we're going to do kind of a two-part season preview. We'll start today with some big picture questions, and then tomorrow we'll do some more specific fun questions too. Mm-hmm. But we just talked about the injuries, boys. And you know what? Actually, before we even do these preview questions, Let's break some Scorner Twin Show wrong button. Some Scorner Twin Show news.
Kinda.
We are adding, starting later this week or early next week, whenever Declan wants to jump in, we are adding a component to our Scorner Twins coverage and the Scorner Twin Show. Declan Goff, beat podcaster 2024. So the Dexter is going to be at Target Field on a regular basis this year. In addition to the Score North Twin Show main episodes with all of us and Trevor Plouffe on Tuesdays and the random Twin of the Week, Declan's going to pump out Score North Twin Show extra innings episodes from the ballpark when they're at home. And when they're on the road, he's going to be pumping out multiple episodes a week too. But we are all in on the Score North Twin Show, the Score North Twin Show YouTube channel. Click the subscribe button if you haven't. And Declan Goff, beat podcaster extraordinaire.
Yeah, I'm excited for this. We've been kind of working on this for like the last 3 or 4 months behind the scenes. Obviously, it's no secret. I love baseball. Three of us really, really love baseball, and I wanted to do something a little different here. So I'm excited to kind of step in this space. You might see a little less of Dex on some other Score stuff outside of Purple Daily on Draft. That's a full go. You'll still see my shining face there. But yeah, I'm really excited to just dive into more Twins coverage. We'll have extra innings content. There'll be kind of I have a framework of what all those episodes look like, but also I'll take as much listener feedback on what you like, what you don't like about it. It'll be a blast. And you'll be hearing from also some other auxiliary Score North people too on that show. So it won't just be, you'll see some Mackie and Judd on there too, but you'll also see some AJ. You'll see some Ross. You'll see some, all of our whole cast of characters here at Score North helping us out with extra innings content.
Yeah, so the main Score North Twin Show will still be the three of us on a regular basis and Plouffe, and then the added episodes of Score North Twin Show Extra Innings.
Baseball.
So we are, we're full steam ahead. We're super pumped. And you can Apple, Spotify, and YouTube, the Score North Twin Show, wherever you want to consume.
Declan, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Us side by side.
Oh, yeah.
In the press box.
Just trail like the old mix, days. Yep.
Trail, exactly. Trail mix, some hot dogs, some burgers. I can't wait for this.
I know listeners love when press box people talk about press box, you know, things that they get to do to watch a baseball game for free. But I'm a big fan of making my own Arnie Palmers in the Twins press box. They have the lemonade and the tea.
They do have a good
year. So, yes, the trail mix, the elbow to elbow. Me forgetting, Judd, was that a 6-4 or a 4-6 put out or a 4-3 put out? Yeah. I don't know what it is. So there'll be plenty of that as well.
Great scorebook, too. You've got that.
I've got the big scorebook.
Broadcaster scorebook. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it.
Well, so you guys both have your own, like, personal customized scorebooks, right? You don't do the printed out
not
sheets.
The paper one.
I do a lot, actually. Yeah. Now.
Judd sometimes does. Mine's, it's called the Bob Carpenter, and he makes a TV one. He makes a radio one. He makes also, I think, just like a fan one, too, but it's a huge scorebook. When I worked at the St. Paul Saints, Sean Aronson uses it and recommended it to me, and I love it. It's if you're a scorebook, even if you're just a scorebook junkie and you want to go to games, bring it. It's awesome. Great book.
I want to know how many of our listeners are scorebook junkies. What percentage of the audience? It's
a great
certainly
question.
Better than 0%. Mm-hmm. Who keeps score at baseball games?
I love keeping score at games.
Do you keep score at home when you're watching the games? That's another one.
Yeah, I did for the playoffs. I think because of like this new commitment to the extra innings, I think I will from home now too. But I do love keeping score.
That's hardcore.
It is hardcore. I'm only pencil, though. No pen. I'm not confident enough to go with pen. I'm not confident enough to go with pen.
I go pen.
I was a pen guy. And then, like, you know, the three screw-ups per game, you just kind of figure out a way to draw, like, arrows. And
turn a 5 into a 6.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
So we're super pumped. Yeah, we're ramping up the Twins coverage here, the Score North Twin Show. The audience response when we brought this show back for the stretch run after the All-Star break last year was incredible. At one point, you had this podcast as a top 10 Apple baseball podcast, so we're super fired up, and you'll see Declan in that press box with Judd.
Hello.
If you're looking up there, you can see them pounding trail mix together. So, okay, let's start with this one. We talked about the injuries. I'm going to ask you guys a handful of big picture season preview questions. With the injuries and with the, what, is it 8-20 record in spring training? Are you nervous at all about the way the season is starting? Like, is it that they're kind of stumbling out of the gate here into Kansas City with their record, with the injuries? Like, what's your panic meter? If 10 is full on, oh my God, this is a 2011 twin situation where everyone's going to get hurt. They're going to lose 99 games, or one being RELAX, Aaron Rodgers style. Where are you at?
If 10's the most freaked out and one being RELAX, I'm at a 3 still. I'm at a 3. The bullpen stuff is a tad concerning. I think that's what I'm most worried about. I don't care about the record. I have some questions for sure about the starting pitching depth. But in general, no. The record in spring training doesn't concern me. This is why you build a bullpen, too, by the way, with great depth. And I know that for the first few weeks of the season, you're going to have to rely on some guys that you didn't think were have to pitch as high of leverage situations. But no, I'm at like a 2-3 in terms of the nervous scale here. I know the vibes are a little strange as we're wrapping up spring training, but no, not much panic for me on my end.
I'm at about a 5, but I don't care about the record. So just
but your default state is like 4.5.
You are
so
kind of
really,
DEFCON 3,
well,
4.
And I'll explain why. And just for a point of reference on the records, last year in spring training, the Cardinals, 17-7. Unbelievable. The Redbirds were ready to go, and the Redbirds were terrible. Texas, which went on to win the World Series, 13-15. Spring training, and we've talked about this. It means nothing. The injuries concern me, though, because I very much believe in, like, preseason going into season karma. Some years you have it, and some years you don't, and I hate to see guys getting hurt. It feels like at a high rate, and I'm not even faulting. I'm just saying sometimes the sports gods are on your side. Case in point, the Vikings in 2022, right?
Yeah.
Like the sports gods were on their side. 2023, things sort of didn't go as well. Some of that's their fault. Some of that's just sports karma. So I'm at a 5 just because of the fact that they have had a lot of guys dropping, which can sometimes be a prelude to what your season is going to be like. I certainly hope it's not, but I can't dismiss that. The record I do dismiss. I just don't make much of a spring, especially now. Like, you're not trying to get guys set to play games. You're literally trying to get guys work. Like, it used to be, you know, spring training, you'd show up to get in shape, and then guys would play a lot, and that would sort of be your team.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah, it's so hard. The record, would I have liked to see them finish 500 just to not? I mean, they're so buried in the standings that I do think there's a little bit of juju that could, bad juju that could seep in if you're just like not winning games at all. But generally, spring training matters zero. And you laid out a couple great examples of records from last year's good and bad teams. I'm going to say my panic level is closer to Declan. It's like a 3.5. It's you worry about a bad start. You can't win a division in March and April, but you can certainly lose one in March and April. And Amen. The Twins have had, go back like the last 10 or 15 years, and they've had a handful of seasons where it's like, didn't they start like 0-6 1 year in the early Falvey Levine years?
2016, after a good 2015 year, I think they started 0-9.
Like 0-9?
Yeah, it was awful.
They won like two. Yeah, that was awful. Mm-hmm.
So what if what if because your bullpen is kind of a mess and you're still trying to figure out what does your rotation look like in terms of who's going to step up, who's going to be reliable? The plan was not for Louis Varland to be your fifth starter. Now, they might not even really need a fifth starter until like the second or third week of the season, but you're kind of like throwing some guys into higher spots than they normally would be, and you're just relying on some guys that haven't pitched a lot, Chris Paddock, to replace guys who were great in Sonny Gray. And
right.
I think the goal in March and April is, can you just play like 500 baseball for the first 2 or 3 weeks? Don't lose the division. Get a couple guys back. Get Duran back in the mix maybe later in April. Get Justin Topa back in there and just have your bullpen more solidified. So it's like a 3.5 teetering on a 4 for me with the injuries.
Teetering.
So, okay, let's go to the other side. What aspect of the Twins are you most confident in going into the season?
This lineup. I think this lineup's going to be badass. I really do. I think Edward Julian's having a hell of a spring. That dude looks like he's honestly ready to play ball. Carlos Correa is healthy. Royce Lewis, pending, obviously being very healthy. He was ripping the cover off yesterday. They actually had a baseball game on TV. It was great. Judd, I don't know if you watched some of the Twins game, spring training game yesterday.
Which Corey was great. Provis. Love hearing him on TV now.
I love what Royce Lewis is doing. You know, there might be a sophomore slump. I'm not worried about a sophomore slump with Julian as much, but I am worried about a sophomore slump with guys like Matt Wallner. Is Alex Kirilloff going to be able to put everything together? But you had Ryan Jeffers, who had a big season last year. You can plug in Mason Margot. I call him Mason Margot every single time. Dude, Manuel Margot.
He's really good, but he's a great chef.
I call him Mason Margot. Now, if you gave me
one or the other, like, I love Manny Margot as a fourth outfielder, but I would take Mason Margot. Just for the appetizers.
But I think this lineup 1 through 9 is incredible. I mean, when I was doing those mock lineups, like, I was struggling not because I thought this lineup was going to be bad, but it was like, where do you put some of these guys? These guys are going to be batting in the bottom of the order that should be middle of the order dudes on a lot of other teams. So I would have told you bullpen 2 weeks ago, but now it's definitely the lineup. I think this lineup's going to kick some butt.
My answer is this. Porzano in right field is going to be phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, Porzano's
in right field.
Red Rabbit at second. You know,
Porzano's going to bring it every Smack single
behind
night.
The plate.
J.D. Hoyt at DH.
Oh, God, J.D. Oh, yeah. Big, sort of slow because the food's so good it slows you down.
Hewing
Rooftop
out of the bullpen, too. It'd be great.
I've never been up there.
It's a great spot.
I've been downstairs to the bar, but I've never been upstairs. Okay, Hewing, I'll put that on my list.
Score right. You have to, if you're not staying there, which obviously, like, if you're local, you're not. Right. You do have to ask someone from the front desk to like hit the elevator key. Yeah.
But they'll do it.
They'll do it. Oh, unless there's a private party going on up there. They'll let you up there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm trying that next. Okay. Back to the question. I am most confident to take Declan's answer and condense it a little bit more for mine. I'm most confident in the left side of the infield. Boys, can we talk about this for a second? So a couple of years ago or a year ago, you went on a shopping spree. You were flush with cash. You were flush with cash, and you somehow got a deal on a Correa. And while you did not spend this winter very much, you still have the DeLorean, the Correa, parked in your garage, and you can drive it. Okay, that's a pretty good deal.
It's very nice.
By him, you got a Cadillac. You got Royce Lewis. Now, of course, this is all predicated on health, but let's just play the game for a second. The Twins, I think, very arguably, I mean, I don't think it's a hot take. If those guys can stay healthy, have one of the best sides of the infield in all of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've got two shortstops on that side of the field. The main shortstop now, I think his foot is fine, and it no question impacted him at the plate. So Correa, I think we'll all be very disappointed if he doesn't have a far better season at the plate. Royce Lewis is another story because he's a captain type. And he also has that clutch gene, which a lot of guys just don't have. We're not sleeping on this. That's too strong. But I guess what I would like to say is don't take this for granted. Like, think about all the times that we were like, well, the Twins are trying to get by at shortstop. I mean, Phil and I did segments on the old show about the turnover that seemed to come on opening day year after year at shortstop. Left side of the infield, to me, is an absolute baseball fan's delight.
Yes, and keep in mind, with both Royce Lewis and Carlos Correa, you're going to get more and better versions of them than last year.
Right.
You're going to get a better version of Correa, and you're going to get more, in a perfect world, I get it, 58 games only for Royce Lewis last year. What if he plays 140 games? And now I'm getting a guy that if you would extrapolate his performance over a full season was like a 7 wins above replacement player.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna get my left side of the infield, if I'm the Twins here, if they're both playing every day and playing at their peak, that's like 12 to 14 wins above replacement, just the left side of your infield. So yeah, 100% for, you know, a lot of time has been spent, rightfully so, talking about the things the Twins have lost from last year. They lost Sonny Gray. They lost Kenta Maeda, and what are they replacing those guys? They lost $30 million in payroll, right? But you're gaining potentially 90 extra games of Royce Lewis on top of the 58 that he played last year. Let's call it, I mean, if he played 148, that would be amazing. We'd all sign up for it. If he could play 135,
mm-hmm.
you're getting what? Double plus 10 or 15 games from what he played last year, and then the lack of the foot injury for Correa, so. Totally agree on everything. My answer was going to be left side of the infield, but I'll give you a different answer. I would say overall defense. So you're going to have Byron Buxton for however many games. Byron Buxton for more than 0 games is going to improve your defense from where it was last year. Because I think he's a better defensive center fielder even after a year off than Michael A. Taylor was. And he certainly is a better hitter in the lineup too. So just overall, you're getting more out of center field, even if he only plays 50 games. Like, you're getting 50 games of Byron Buxton's defense in center field. And you're replacing one of the worst defensive first baseman slots in all of baseball last year with Carlos Santana, who was, according to defensive runs saved on Fangraphs, the best defensive first baseman in the entire league. And then you get Carlos Correa without the foot injury at shortstop. So I think you're going to see him.
And by
the
way, still great.
Yeah, for sure. But he probably even better without having to deal with it. And you could put Manny Margot in one of the corners and have two center fielders out there at the same time. So I think the Twins, depending on the metric you looked at, like defensive runs saved, they were fringe top 10. If you look at overall defensive net rating, I guess, on Fangraphs, they were 18th. So I just think they're going to take a step forward if healthy with Buxton, Carlos Santana, a healthy Carlos Correa. And that should help the pitching staff too.
Mm-hmm. You're
going to need.
Last year, the Twins at first base were a minus 10 at defensive run save. That was the worst figure in baseball with the Royals. So they lost minus 10 runs in at that one position, which everyone always, just put them at first.
Right.
Put them at first. Hide a kid at first, which yep. Patrick Royce and I always have the Little League comment. You put your most confident kid at first base because if the 10-year-old can't catch the dang ball, we're going to be out there for 6 hours. So find a good guy with a good glove. And Carlos Santana will definitely fix a lot of that.
Pretty sure Carlos Santana himself was like a plus 8 or a plus 10 defensive run saved with the
Gold
Pirates
Glove
last
finals,
year.
Right?
Yeah, and the Gold Glove is like, sometimes that's just a weird.
I think
the guys that win is weird. I think if you're a finalist, that does speak to a competence.
And the metrics would bear that out, that he should have been a finalist for sure. So, okay. How far do you think the Twins will go in 2024? What do you think their record will be? And when do you think they'll be eliminated? Or will they not be
eliminated? Do you think they'll be eliminated?
Do you think they will be the only team that isn't eliminated?
I think they're a 92-win team that wins the AL Central. So I think they will go over their projected over-under. Not by a crazy amount, but I do think they'll win about 92 games. And I think this is a team that should 100% be in the ALCS. I think their ceiling is the ALCS. They have to prove that they're still better than the Astros. Obviously, everyone's still loving Baltimore, but is there a sophomore slump with some of those guys there? They're built, and they should be great for years to come, but you never really know. The Yankees have kind of remade their middle of their lineup where they have probably the most dangerous combination in baseball from Soto into Judge. So there are some contenders in the American League, but if everyone is healthy, your starting pitching hasn't fallen off, your bullpen is what it's supposed to be, this is a team that should be in the ALCS no problem. This is not getting into the wild card. This isn't just going five games in a divisional series. You should be confidently in the ALCS as one of the top two teams in the American League come October. Absolutely.
Because this all that to me depends on do you also at the deadline trade for a starter, because I don't think that they have the starting pitching that I trust yet to be that team, but they definitely could make that trade. I'm going with a one win improvement on 2023. 88 wins, they win the division. It obviously remains there for the taking. You know, the Tigers might be improved, but that's okay, that's great, but are they going to jump the Twins? I mean, if you want to talk about the TV revenue impacting a team, look at Cleveland. Like, Cleveland makes the Twins look like the Yankees as far as
what's their payroll goes. Right now?
It's down. It's way down. They just don't spend, and they always find pitching, which is like a very impressive thing, but that's not a way to it. You know, that's not a way to true success to like sort of hope.
What
is it now?
They're 28th in payroll.
Yeah,
they're at $86 million.
Yeah,
which the Twins are at $118 million right now, according to Spotrac.
Yep,
the Oakland A's, God.
Well, that's that team.
$47 million.
That's disgusting. That's disgusting. What they've done.
Disgusting act.
That the guy that owns them who's trying, and I'm and the move to Vegas is no sure thing yet. Very much.
Well,
up
yeah,
in the air.
It's quick aside on that. People have started poking holes in, like, wait a second. Even I think the Oakland, whoever the chair is for, like, the keep the A's in Oakland, whatever, saying, well, even if they're moving, like, don't they still want to play here for a couple years instead of playing outdoor at a minor league stadium when it's 117 degrees and
they're not
going to
play
in Vegas?
They've actually talked, I think, about playing in Salt Lake City next season. Because you can't go play outdoors there.
Like, they're going to play in Toledo.
Yeah.
That team's such a joke. But anyway, so I'm going a one-win improvement. I'm going AL Central Division winners. But I am still going to have them. Now, I think it probably is more competitive. But I still am going to have their season coming to an end in the division series.
So I'm right between you guys on record. I think it's like 89 or 90 wins. I'll say 89 just to pick a number here, which is going to be right now the over-unders. I haven't looked like the last week on like DraftKings or some of these sites, but you know, Fangraphs does the projected records and they have the Twins winning the division, but it's like 83 or 85 wins or something.
Oh yeah.
And they're always pretty conservative on Fangraphs. They very rarely project teams to be at 98 or 100, just like they very rarely project like train wreck seasons. But I would say like 89 wins, ALDS right now, they need another arm at some point. Mm-hmm. However that takes place, maybe it's internal. Oh my God, Louis Varland is your number two starter and he's a stud. Or Simeon Woods Richardson finally pans out the way that you hoped that he would when you made that trade a couple of years ago, right? Is there an internal option? Or if there's not, make a trade at the deadline and bring in a true... we don't know who's starting the second playoff game for them right now. And last year, it was very obvious. It was who's starting the first playoff game.
First. Well, yeah.
They had two number one starters.
Yes, absolutely.
So that they got to figure that out at some point. But this lineup is good enough, I think, to carry them through some pitching uncertainty in a bad division. And that's why I think they're going to rack up 89 or 90 wins, even with some of the question marks. And if they don't add a starter, they'll get bounced in the ALDS. If they do add a starter, with this lineup? There's a lot of ifs. Do I get November Byron baseball? Buxton? Do I get Byron Buxton in October?
November, and are number you saying two November starter? Baseball?
Just say it.
30 degrees. Parka's out. World Series on.
Man. We've very rarely been able to feel the crisp of the second week in October. They're usually, I think not usually, they've always been eliminated the first week in October.
Yes.
And just to get that taste of 38
And how about
degrees.
Those Blue Jays games last year? Just the atmosphere. Dude. I mean, because baseball, I feel like there's no replicating playoff baseball until you just get there.
Like a key Vikings
game, right?
The smell
around Christmas is sort of like a playoff game, right? Like you can feel that playoff intensity. And I feel the same thing can take place for like the Wolves, the Wild, but baseball, you gotta get there. And then it's on.
If I could lock a smell in a jar for whatever reason, and I understand the outs that I probably have there, I would put playoff baseball into a jar and just be able to smell playoff baseball in October.
The crisp October air.
Oh, hot dogs,
Kamarchuk,
the beers.
Sausages, the peanuts on the ground.
Keep it coming.
The nerves of Minnesota sports fans knowing that this is probably going to end poorly, but putting on our best effort to cheer anyways. Okay, I have one more question for you guys on the part one edition of the season preview in just a second, but a shout out to our friends over at Nicolay Law here first. The official an exclusive personal injury law firm of the Score North Twin Show. So Nicolay Law knows that when you or a loved one gets hurt, ordinary life can come to a stop. Things can get complicated. You're on the injured list, right? And during that time, insurance companies are likely to pressure you. They don't care if you get better. They don't care if your medical bills are piling up. They don't care that you might not be able to work or play ball. But Nicolay Law does. They've seen every pitch the insurance companies have to throw, and they'll go the whole nine yards to make sure that you get the compensation you deserve after an accident. Nicolay Law is proud to serve the local communities that they live in here in the Twin Cities. The only difference between Nicolay Law and regular people is that they're just regular people that happen to have law degrees, and they're here to help you. Give them a call at 1-855-NICOLAY or go to NicolayLaw.com. Also, speaking of Target Field, the Twins are very much back. They have a road trip here for the first week of the season, but then you can be part of the excitement on opening day at Target Field on April 4th at 3:10 p.m. against the Guardians. The first 10,000 fans through the gates will get an opening weekend beanie presented by your local Northland Ford dealers. You can see Royce Lewis, Byron Buxton, Carlos Correa. Secure your spot at opening day at twins.com/tickets. That's twins.com/tickets.
And a last-minute addition from our buddy Ross Brendel. Right now on the Score North app, you can win a four-pack of tickets to that home opener. Available in the rewards section. You have to enter by Friday, but you get a four-pack of tickets to the home opener. It's in a link in our comment section. It's also on the Score North apps and the listener rewards. Very easy to find. So if you want to go to the game, you can also do that through the Score North app.
Beautiful. All right, boys, final question here. Part one season preview. What is your boldest prediction for the 2024 Twins? Now, Declan already said ALCS, so that doesn't count anymore as a bold prediction.
Yep. My boldest prediction is you have a top three MVP and a top three Cy Young Award winner in Pablo Lopez and Royce Lewis. I think you have both those guys are firmly top three in each of those categories. I think if Royce Lewis plays 150 games, you are talking about a bona fide MVP candidate. There's a lot of good guys in the American League, so it's not a unanimous award. It's very difficult to project. But if Pablo Lopez is who he is, which is already a guy who has been near the top of Cy Young candidates before and led the league in strikeouts, was really good, or one of the more strikeout-prone pitchers. So if he's firing, he's good. But if Royce Lewis plays in 150 games, you're talking about one of the top three players in the American League. So that is my boldest prediction. The Twins will have a top three MVP candidate in Royce Lewis, and they'll have a top three AL Cy Young candidate in Pablo Lopez.
It's a stud. Wow.
Oh, I love those.
Judd.
I love those because I was thinking the same exact thing, but not about the exact same guys.
Oh.
Just the top three part. The Twins will have a top three rookie of the year candidate in Brooks Lee.
Oh.
I think Brooks Lee is here by May. Okay. I don't think Brooks Lee is going to be sent back. I think Brooks Lee to me, if there are, like, it's been a rough spring. The record's not great. The injuries certainly suck, okay? But I think if there was one thing that that we saw was Brooks Lee, more so than the stats, but just the approach, looks like he's prepared. Like, he has been a fast track guy. He's initially struggled a lot when he gets to the next level, but he then has straightened himself out and not become good, but really damn good. Mm-hmm. I think Brooks Lee gets here in May. I think that the Twins, with assuming health again, a little bit of an embarrassment of riches because Julian has to play. He's great too. But I think that they carve out a place for Brooks Lee potentially as a DH. More importantly, also at second base. You will then have three shortstops playing. You'll have a former shortstop at third, a former shortstop at second, and Correa at short. So I think Brooks Lee, though, goes top three. I think this kid seems to have an it factor that Royce has for sure. But I think there could be a real embarrassment of young riches at Target Field this summer.
I like it.
So this is tough because my bold prediction negates Judd's bold prediction.
That's not tough.
There's only room for one of
I
these.
I think you should
correct.
Make it, and then let's start to go back and forth and start screaming like I did in the Vikings thing.
It was kind of refreshing to like have an actual lengthy debate about the quarterback spot for the first time in 6 years on that show.
It was really nice. I got to be honest.
At no point did we do they need to hang on to Kirk Cousins. No, they don't for 5 years. Nope. So my bold prediction is 2024 will be Alex Kirilloff's breakout season. OPS 850 or more, 20 plus home runs, 130 plus games, whatever it is, on base machine. Batting average much closer to 300 than we've seen. And the only way for that to happen is for him to be in the DH slot a lot. Unless Carlos Santana gets hurt or falls up. Carlos Santana is your starting first baseman defensively alone. Like, he's worth putting out there.
Right.
So if my guy, Carlos Santana, is playing gold glove defensive first, I'm not putting Kirilloff in a corner outfield spot unless I have to. So he's going to be the primary DH. It's flexible, but like, he's going to be your DH more often than not. That kind of puts a roadblock. If my guy Alex Kirilloff is having a career season, your guy Brooks Lee is going to have to just be patient down there in AAA unless there's an injury to, which obviously can happen, like Royce Lewis gets hurt.
And they platoon.
Or Ed Julian gets hurt.
And they platoon too. And the one thing is, Carlos Santana is really old. So like,
he is very old.
I could definitely see. He was old four years ago.
First base. He's too old.
Too old.
He was old 4 years ago. So anyway, but I mean that would be ideal because Kirilloff. I we're very close in my opinion in a lot of discussions to basically punting there, and I don't think
it would
that's
be
fair
a mistake.
Yet. And I don't think that's fair. Not with that swing.
And I'm not saying it's a David Ortiz situation, but.
Right.
Okay. He's 25 years old. He turned 26. This is his age 26 season. And last year he's had the wrist injuries. David Ortiz had the wrist issues, right? Was in his mid 20s, 25, 26, whatever he was, 24, 25.
Yep.
And I think the way we talk about Kirilloff last year was, man, the guy was just awful and unplayable. And because at the end of the season, he was kind of banged up again with the shoulder.
Right.
You know, he finished the season. He played 88 games. He had 319 plate appearances. He had an OPS 17% above league average. He had a 117 OPS plus, just under 800, while grinding some injuries and some rust. So there's a guy in there that used to be one of the most highly touted hitting prospects in all of baseball, and he's not that old yet. He's age 26 season.
Not too old.
He's not too old.
No,
so let's not punt on Alex Kirilloff.
I don't want to speak for Dex, but I think because we both saw this in the playoff game against Houston sitting together in the press box, and it's probably not fair, but that series in which, to your point, Phil, he was hurt, but the play in particular at first base, we both basically went ape bleep. We're both like, what the heck? You know?
You know where I was for that play? I was literally sitting. I was standing right behind the right field foul pole, staring straight down the first baseline.
Oh, so you saw it perfect.
I saw that just like the outfield umpire would. And it was, it was bad. And it led to essentially the Twins falling behind in that game. But he's not going to, there's not as much pressure on him to be the first baseman for the entire season. If that happens organically and he gets better at it, awesome. Need your bat, Alex. That's the most important thing.
And he was hurt. You're not wrong about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say I'm probably, of the three of us, closer to punting than you two are. I just, you got to be able to do it, man. It's been 3 years now, and I understand injuries happen, but also availability is also huge here too. So I still think there's a good player in there, but I have definitely a shorter leash of expectations with him compared to Julian and Wallner and Brooks Lee, obviously, who hasn't played a game in the majors, but I have a shorter leash with him.
So here's the crazy thing about Kirilloff, and then we'll call timeout and do the rest of the preview tomorrow. His 162 game average in the first 3 years, again, injuries, new to the major leagues, all these things. His 162 game average is 20 home runs, 81 RBI, a 104 OPS plus, which is above average. Like, even through all of the stuff, he's been an above average hitter in his first 3 years, and there's another level. So if we're still doing the same thing in 6 months from now, cool. I'm going to join Declan's side of the fence and be like, all right, well, that didn't really work out the way that you thought it would back in like 2019. So, okay. Halftime here, or seventh inning stretch. I don't know, of the Twin season preview, two-part series on the Score North Twin Show. Thank you guys. If you haven't already, if you could click the like button and the subscribe button on the Score North Twin Show YouTube channel, which is now just 3 weeks old, we would appreciate it. And a 5-star rating and a positive review on Apple and Spotify also go a long way to helping us grow this show. We'll see you guys again tomorrow.